Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Champions Monthly, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game by Fantasy Flight Games. Today I am Kennedy Hawk and I have with me Lester. How's it going, Lester?
Well, I'm better late than never, you know.
Better late than never. This is a special episode. We are issue 8.5 of Marvel Champions Monthly. In issue 8, Lester couldn't make it to be with us, so we're going to get his opinions on all the bold statements we made last episode in a little shorty episode today. So we got lots of topics to talk about still. So stay tuned, even though some of the topics will be comments on our old topics.
Can't wait.
So how's it going, Lester? You have a core set now, which 2 episodes ago you didn't. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I've managed to get in a few games. I've been really busy with my job. It's just starting to kind of slow down now, but it's about to pick up again. So I've ridden out 3 really gnarly cold snaps, and now it's January in Canada, and it was plus 15 today Celsius, so that's like, I don't know, in the 70s or something Fahrenheit, I think. Yeah, it was really nice today, actually. So but the cold snaps are nice. I have managed to play a few games, more than I was getting to do when I was like on job, so it's been nice.
So what's the favorite deck you've been building?
Still, it's Leadership Captain Marvel. I'm still on the Captain Marvel kick. I've made a deck for every hero except for Black Panther, but I like Captain Marvel with leadership. But I've been trying to beat Ultron unsuccessfully so far, and I feel like leadership's the way to go because you have extra ways of defeating all the minions that come into play.
Crimson's not here, so we can just say that leadership is way better than Justice. It's okay.
I still am on the aggression kick. I want to be the one who champions, like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. As a solo player, I feel like once the card pool is a little bit bigger, I think it will be really viable. And I've had some success with what's in the core set, too. So I definitely find it to be the most, maybe straightforward is the wrong word, or wrong, yeah, maybe it's the wrong word, but there's, like, some counterintuitive stuff in aggression, I find.
Yeah, it's missing a couple of the pieces. Hopefully it gets it when the Thor pack comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing a lot of leadership too, so I've been playing 2 decks. One of them we're going to talk about later, but the other one has been, I've been playing this crazy Black Panther leadership deck where I just try to puke as many things as I can to the board and get my deck down to like 20 cards, and then I pretty much play allies as just future card draw and use a card from Caps Pack, Strength and Numbers, to just draw and draw and draw and draw and play all the Wakanda Forevers I can. There's a guy on Marvel CDB, Dr. 00, who made a deck about it, and I've been modeling that deck with a few tweaks, and it's been super fun.
I found a cool app on Android that it's a Marvel Champions deck builder, and it's like still in its development stages, but it's been serving me pretty good. So I don't have to break up all my cards. I could have them organized in the box and then pull from, you know, like build the decks. If I have an idea, I can, you know, build the deck on this app. I can't wait for them to develop it a little bit further. But we've struggled up here in Canada, like where I'm at. I haven't been able to find any of the extra packs and stuff. I'm really close to just being like, screw it, I'll pay the exchange rate, I'll pay the duty, and I'll just go through Team Covenant or something like that.
Yeah, I can mail you a Green Goblin. We have those floweth here. We just don't have any Captain Americas or Miss Marvels.
Yeah, but those are the ones I want. I want more heroes. I don't really like I think the Green Goblin deck will be fun to play against, but I feel like until I can beat all of the villains in the core set, I can't really justify getting another encounter set. You know, like I haven't managed to figure out Ultron yet. I've only beat Claw once, so I feel like I need to kind of game the core first and be able to, you know, win moderately consistently before I go and buy the Green Goblin pack. And I don't know, I don't like Captain America as a character in the lore, but the deck looks super fun to play, so I'd like to get that. And then I love Miss Marvel, so hopefully, fingers crossed, sometime before 2021, I can get my hands on.
Soon, TM. Well, product delay is one of our next sort of topics here. So next, we're going to go into one of our segments. It's called The Pulse, the news segment. There's two pieces of news to talk about today. First, FFG has announced that they will be streaming a hero reveal next Tuesday on their FFG live stream. So be sure to tune into that.
Doctor Strange. It'll be Doctor Strange. That's my hot
take. Yeah, it might be a strange stream. We'll see.
Oh man, I'll watch that one 20 times if it's Doctor Strange. He is hands down. Him and Moon Knight are my absolute favorite characters in the Marvel universe. So
that would be yeah. We'll see what it is. I'm hoping for Doctor Strange as well. Based on Black Widow from the last one, which we'll talk about later, it's probably going to be an Avengers character of some kind. So we'll see. The other news bit is it looks like The Wrecking Crew is slated to release next Friday, February 7th. Unfortunately, it looks like it has been allocated, which is not a word any of us like. It's kind of the big villain of Marvel Champions right now. I really think it'd be awesome if they made a treachery set that was just called with five like treachery twists called allocated.
Yeah.
And it like discarded half your deck or something. It'd be funny.
Yeah, you have to wait for an hour to make your next play.
Yeah. Stun and confuse your character. So allocated means that basically there's, you know, maybe there's 5,000 people that they thought were going to order this pack. So they made 5,000 of them. And it turns out there's, you know, 7,000 people that want the pack. So there's not enough packs to go out to all the stores that are asking for pre-orders. So just like the last set of packs, which they didn't officially say were allocated, but here more things are leaking out saying that it is. Just like the last set of packs, there might not be a ton in your store. Even Team Covenant got allocated based on emails we've seen. So that is not a great sign for this release.
Like, do we know, like, a little bit of the backstory with FFG here? Because I know it's been a problem with many of the games. They just don't print enough in the initial runs. And when you have when you secure the license for Marvel, you should assume that it's going to be successful to some degree. And I think that by them doing it this way, it actually takes the wind out of the sails and can drive some people away. You know, like I think some people will not play because they can't have access to stuff, you know?
Well, hopefully they figure it out soon. They seem to print things in bunches. So hopefully this is something that, you know, they had decided on their initial print run before, you know, they had even released the game. And the rumors we've heard, so Team Covenant did a cast on this topic today, and they said, you know, we've been told that the second wave of this pack, it's not coming months later, it's coming just 1 month later at the beginning of March. So you're not going to be waiting 6 months for this pack like some allocated things in the past. So that's good. And they really delved into how overprinting for a publisher can be the worst thing they can do. So if you print too many copies and you have them sitting there, it costs more money than it makes sense to keep making expansions for the game. But at the same time, like what you said, this is a Marvel game. Is it not going to sell? I'm interested.
Absolutely flabbergasted that they ran out of Captain America. Like, that character is iconic. You know, that would be like if they didn't have Spider-Man in the core set and then they just decided to print, say, like you said, let's use the 5,000 as like a base point. Well, let's just print 5,000 Spider-Man. Who cares if you're sitting on them in your warehouse? They're tiny packs of cards. And Captain America, I mean, you may not sell it out, but you might as well print 10,000. If you think 5,000 people are going to buy it initially, you should print at least 7,000. In my opinion. But I mean, I'm not a distribution wizard, and I really like the games they put together. I'm not trying to slag on FFG at all. I just know that this has been a consistent problem with a lot of games, especially games that have solidly developed intellectual property, you know?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes in the future. I think they'll get it figured out. This has happened with like every LCG and every big FFG release in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they always figure it out by the end of the first year. So we're about halfway through that first year. So we're almost to the point where they've figured it out.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor there was like this custom mod that, you know, me and some people made about Namor attacking an FFG boat. And I think enough people just didn't play that and win. So Namor sunk too many FFG boats. And that's why we're not getting enough expansions. So get out there and play that while you're waiting for your Wrecking Crew packs.
Well, you say Namor, I say Namor, but it's probably a Canadian thing.
Yeah, hey. Put you another.
In Namor, E-H, right? N-E-H-M-O-R.
Yeah, nay, eh?
Namor.
All right. Next topic, we're going to Tony Stark's deck garage.
All of your projects have just been approved and funded.
So this was a new segment last issue, and Crimson and I built a Iron Man leadership deck. So have you gotten the chance to look through the deck, or do you want me to review it for you, Lester?
I didn't look through the deck, but I did listen to the podcast, and I have to say, what a great segment, like such a good idea.
I'm excited because next month you're going to pick what deck we build.
Oh, sweet.
But what are the top, this is my question for you about an Iron Man leadership deck. So if you want to check out the deck, we'll put it in the show notes for this this mini episode as well. But if you were building an Iron Man leadership deck, what are your must include cards? And what's the one or two leadership cards you would never include?
Ooh, that's a real good question.
Loaded.
Well, I know that I was really on, like maybe a little bit too into Vision. Early on, and I'm kind of struggling to put him into the leadership decks. Like he's currently not in the leadership deck I'm running. So I would have to say that would probably, off the top of my head, that'd probably be the only one I would like totally not even consider putting into the deck. And then you got to include Hawkeye. He's just too good. It's hard for me because like, I don't think that there's anything in leadership that necessarily speaks to Tony's like strengths, you know, his strengths really, I mean, I guess what the idea with a leadership deck and Iron Man is to have like meat shields to allow you enough time to dig through your deck to build up the Iron Man suit so you can kick some serious butt. That's how I would approach deck building, like that kind of deck building.
That was the general idea. Get a bunch of chump blockers so you can sit in Tony Stark form until you can, you know, flip in and save the day.
Yeah, like that exactly. I feel like that's pretty much where you have to come from with the build. And like, it's tough for me because I find like I'm struggling to even cut cards in building decks because there isn't that. I mean, there's enough variety in the Corsa to make it viable and replayable and to add a little bit of deck building. But I feel like without more options, you pretty much have all the standard includes. I think you might be able to get away with ditching Get Ready. That's the one, that's the zero cost that allows you to just ready an ally, right?
Yep.
Like, I find that card, I tend to use that more as fuel for my other cards. Like, that's more of a resource card to me than actually using it to ready any of my allies. But yeah. I have some limited plays there.
Yeah, if you were making a deck just around Vision, Get Ready might be good.
Oh, not that. I was just going to say, I've probably only played about 35 games since I got the core set, so... you know, and like, I think you want to include the Triskelion, because like you said, I think the main philosophy there is to have as many meat shields as possible. So instead of only having the three allies, that ups you to being able to have that fourth ally in play.
Totally.
And like, I've struggled too with Nick Fury. Like I really don't. I tend to upplay him. I've played him in a few decks, but I tend to want to cut him. If I want to fit another card in, like if say I only have two of something, like let's say Haymaker or whatever, and then I'm like, man, I could it that really worked this this game. I'd like to put that third copy in. He tends to be one of the first ones I go to drop because he is a powerful card, but I think he's kind of trappy in a way. In the sense that he's not quite as good as Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings living card game. I mean, I've had some really big plays with him, but I feel like that's one I mean, he's not a leadership card, though, but that's a card that I would consider not playing as well.
Sweet. One of the questions from viewers since the last episode, they really liked this segment, and they heard how Crimson and I build decks. So they wanted to know, what is your thought process when you build a deck? You pick a hero. How do you go about building a deck?
Well, so I tend to, I'll pick a hero, and then I tend to like two of the aspects. I really like aggression. I'm trying to figure out how to understand aggression, like the back of my hand, because that's the one I really want to champion on this web, on this podcast. So I like to play aggression decks. I've played aggression with all the heroes except for Black Panther. I haven't even played Black Panther yet. Although I am excited to explore him. And then, so usually when I build decks, I just kind of randomly mash them together, right? I'll be like, I want to play She-Hulk. I think She-Hulk aggression sounds like it could be really fun, and really risky. It's like win quick or lose sort of thing. And so I'll say that sounds fun. And then I will start to go through and look at which cards, really play to her strengths, and then I'll put those in, usually in max capacity. So if like I'll three of everyone that I think really suits the hero, and then I'll start to pare it down, and I'll bring in, I don't do the basics right away, but I noticed when you guys did the deck garage last time, you kind of went for the basics first, and that actually makes sense to me. But I've never approached it that way. The basics to me are always cards I kind of add in after I've thinned out the aspect and tried to tool it towards the hero. It's kind of how I've been going about it. And like, I'm really excited to make a Black Panther deck. I'm working night shift tonight, so I basically every 45 minutes I have to go out and walk through the goats and see if any of them are giving birth. And if they are, I have to pull them into the barn. And so between that, I'm going to be building a Black Panther deck with Justice and trying to see if I can beat Ultron with Black Panther Justice.
I was all about it until you said Justice, but I mean, Black Panther might be my favorite Corset hero, so that's okay.
Me too. He seems like, I don't know, he seems awesome. I don't know why I haven't gotten around to playing him yet. Like, he really does seem like a super sweet hero. I love the stats, and like, I've always liked kind of that Voltron-y thing, you know? And he's really combo-y.
Our next segment is one we skipped last time because you weren't here. It's our lore comic reading and movie watching club. So lore club, we're going to talk about Iron Man today.
Sweet.
Have you had the chance to read any Iron Man books, or do you want to talk about movies first?
So I have, I'm on Marvel Unlimited. And it can be all right to read. I don't mind reading it on the phone, but I mean, I prefer to read actual books. So I've struggled a bit. I'd say last week I read the first two issues of the newest run of Iron Man. And I've been trying to kind of, I know I've read quite a few, not tons, but quite a few of the older comic books. But I as soon as I applied, or as soon as I like subscribed to Unlimited, I started to want to read kind of what's currently happening, even though you're like 6 months behind or whatever. And I've actually really enjoyed the way that they, the first two issues of the 2018 run of Iron Man. It's pretty neat.
Recommended?
I would highly recommend it. The first issue just, it made me download. I downloaded, you can only have 12 issues at once on your phone, like downloaded on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just went and downloaded the first 12 issues after I read that first one. It's really good. Like I read it twice. So it's neat that, I don't know. I just, the art's super good. The story's great. Like, he's written really good in that. He's written the way I see him, where he's kind of an altruistic guy. He means well, but there's always still kind of that playboy, arrogant thing going on. And I just think that's sweet. I kind of wish the game would play. Oh, it kind of does play that way. where you kind of, like, as soon as you've built that suit, I just feel arrogant. I wanna smack talk the villain, even though it's a card and it can't talk back to me. As soon as I'm, you know, as soon as I've built the majority of that suit and I can really lay a wallop in on the villain, it's just makes me wanna drink a whiskey and drive really fast or something like that. No, not drink and dress.
You really feel like Iron Man, right? Once you've got that suit built up.
Yeah, totally. And the one thing I do wish is, as Tony, I mean, you kind of do. You get that Playboy sense because you get a look at the top three and you just throw some away. Like, I don't need these. Like, that's Tony Stark's ability, right?
Yeah. Futurist. You discard the top three and then put one into your hand, or look at the top three, put one in your hand, discard
pick
the other
one.
Two.
Yeah. So it's kind of like just throwing stuff around. Like, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it kind of gives that feeling of wealth. Like, these resources don't matter because there will always be more resources. And I thought that was a very clever design decision on him. So, like, in the card. But I've always had a love-hate relationship with Tony Stark, because I feel like I really like Stephen Strange and Doctor Strange, and they seem to be very similar characters to me. They both get humility or some semblance of humility because they've had some sort of traumatic experience that led to serious bodily harm. And so I don't know. I like Iron Man. It's a cool idea. It's kind of anime, you know, like where he's got the suit and he's just a man. He's just a smart man. So very similar to Smart and Rich Man, very similar to Batman. But I always just kind of tended to lean towards that mystical thing with Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
Personally,
I read a bunch of Iron Man, and I'm not an Avengers person in comics, up until recent history. So I had read a lot of X-Men growing up and mutant stuff. So all this old Iron Man stuff is just like brand new to me. And it's shocking to me, to see how different Iron Man was back then. So I read Deliverance, which is like it was the first one I read, and that was a mistake. It's like a one issue story arc, and Tony is like pretty much dying of alcoholism in a gutter, in the middle of a blizzard. He like helps some lady birth a child. Like, she's going through childbirth in this blizzard, and he saves the child but can't save the lady. And then he decides he needs to clean up his act and stop drinking. It was the weirdest issue ever. And it's obviously a very strong turning point for Iron Man. Once I read the rest of the stuff, I was like, oh, this makes sense. But when I started with that issue, I was like, this is very different than what I was expecting. Iron Man didn't even show up in the whole issue, I'm pretty sure. So that one was weird. I read, this is my favorite arc of the ones, if I could recommend one for you. So there's two arcs that happen right after Deliverance. One is the Ironmonger saga, which is basically the bad guy from Iron Man movie one.
Okay, yeah.
Stane, Obadiah Stane. And he is, you know, pulling all these strings, sending people after Tony Stark, because Tony Stark isn't Iron Man. He's decided he can't trust himself in the suit because he was an alcoholic. So instead, War Machine is flying around pretending to be Iron Man. So James Rhodey, or Rhodes, who's in the Iron Man hero deck, is actually being Iron Man for him. And some of the Avengers know, and some of them don't seem to know. So it's kind of interesting. And it was really interesting. They wrote James Rhodey kind of as a real jerk. Like, he became meaner and meaner to Tony Stark as this arc played out. And then in the end, he builds a new Iron Man suit, and him and War Machine Iron Man, whatever you want to call him, team up against the Ironmonger to win. So that was great. And right after that, there's another arc called Armor Wars. It's the first Armor Wars. There's an Armor Wars 2 later. But the first one, Iron Man decides, you know, I have this awesome suit technology, but there's a bunch of bad guys with suits, and they're really just copying me. So he goes around and finds all the bad guys who have ever worn suits, and he fights them. So it's people like the Beetle and just like random Marvel villains. And each issue, Tony Stark's taken down one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are both like 80s arcs, I think. What was really cool about this is you see how much time Iron Man comics actually spend focusing on Tony Stark, not on the hero. So that was neat, because you really got a lot of time as Tony, which is something you're going to do in this game. You're going to want to flip to Iron Man all the time so you can get that extra card draw.
Yeah, you definitely want to be Tony Stark a lot in the beginning of, like, I find it you pretty much have to beat Tony Stark for the beginning.
Yeah, especially with the hand draw. So because you're only going to have zero cards to start with, or one card to start with in hero form if you don't get any tech upgrades.
Well, you can't take a lot of punishment either because he has a limited hit point level, you know, not 9 hit points or 8 or 9 hit points, right?
Yeah, 9, I think, right, to start 9.
I'm assuming that's going to be their base level for a standard human because Black Widow, she also has 9, so.
Oh, that makes sense. You don't got any special strength, you get 9 health.
Yeah, that's kind of an assumption. But yeah, that first, you're going into detail about these arcs you've read. That first one of the newest run, it's super awesome. Like, it's so epic, and he has to fight Fin Fang Foom, who is amazing. It's essentially like smart Godzilla. And it's really like, I've always seen Iron Man to be very like anime, like Gundam Wing or whatever, because it's like a powered suit, and I've always loved that kind of stuff. And it goes full bore. They like do nods in that, in the art and in the story to that. Like, he gets into an even bigger suit that looks just like Gundam Wing, and like battles Fin Fang Foom, and it's super good. Like, I'm really impressed with a lot of the newest artwork in a lot of the newer comic books that they've been releasing.
Yeah, what's interesting to me, the other two arcs I've read were newer, and a lot of the art looks a lot very MCU-ish. One of the arcs I read was even before the MCU came out, but like, he's very like clunky, big metal man. But all these old ones, it looks like he's wearing like spandex with like a piece of metal over like his waist and maybe one on his hands. But like, he's like just a dude running around in pajamas with a couple pieces of metal taped to him, fighting bad guys.
That's Mark One armor, right?
Yeah, Mark One.
He had to develop it over time.
Exactly. I didn't realize with Iron Man as well that like a lot of the supporting cast that's in his movies and in his set, like Pepper Potts, she wasn't in those first three arcs that I read at all. She is in Deadly Solutions. If people read that one that we recommended, that one he sort of plays out some of the MCU stuff, and he decides he's not going to make weapons anymore. He's going to be a contractor for peace, and people can like pretty much hire him as a mercenary to solve their problems. And he teams up with a bunch of random people like Black Widow and Captain Marvel and all sorts of people. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, lots of Iron Man reading. If you guys like this segment and want to talk more comics with us, we on our Discord have a Lore Comic Reading Club channel. So before each issue that we're going to read comics and talk about comics or movies, we tell you guys which ones we're going to read in that channel and on Facebook. So be sure to jump on there and join in the conversation.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good excuse to read comic books.
As if you need an excuse.
Well, yeah. I don't know. As a 36-year-old man, sometimes I feel like I do. One other thing I wanted to note, in the newer Captain Marvel comic books, it's really neat how they explore the relationship between Carol Danvers and Tony Stark, because it's like this serious love-hate relationship. Because she basically, in the newer Captain Marvel comic book, she's kind of the leader of the Avengers because he's sort of retired or whatever. And he's just kind of an asshole to her. It's pretty funny. And she just does not take any of his crap.
As she shouldn't. Well, we're moving on from lore. Our next segment is going to be a mini segment, but I think it's actually going to be a pretty large segment. Last time we had a new segment called the Jennifer Walters Rules Lawyer Debate, where we took a rules topic and debated it or discussed it. Sometimes we're all on the same team, so we'll see how much debate it is. But basically, we're picking rules topics that we've seen lots of questions about on Discord and on Facebook, and trying to talk people through those topics.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Kennedy Hawk presiding.
So today's topic is status cards. So I'm going to present some evidence here. I'm just going to read the status cards entry from the RRG. So, status cards represent different states a character may find themselves in during the game. The following status cards are used in the game. When a character is given a status card, take the card from the status card pool, blah, 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 place it on the character. Here's some rules. A character cannot have more than one of the same status cards. This was a question that came up on our Discord. Can a guy be stunned twice so I miss two attacks? Not with a stun status card, but we'll get to that later. They can take one stun status. If you try to stun them again, it just doesn't do anything. Status cards have timing priority over all conflicting card abilities. A lot of people have asked lots of questions about this bullet point, so we're going to talk about that more later. There are three statuses. Confused, if a hero or ally attempts to thwart when confused, instead discard the confused status card. Costs will still be played, including exhausting your character, blah, 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 blah. If it's on a villain or minion, it's the same thing, but for scheming. Stunned is the same thing I just read, but wherever I say scheme or thwart, replace it with attack. And then tough. If a character with a tough status card would take any amount of damage, prevent all of that damage and discard the tough status card instead. Neato. So there's lots of things that can cause statuses. Rhino's got like a treachery that gives him tough. Claw's got a couple of minions that come into play with tough. There's other characters that might attack you and stun you, or there might be ways you can stun the villain. I know some people asked, like last time we talked about indirect damage, and they said, what is indirect damage? I haven't even seen it in the core set. It's because it's not there. It's only in Green Goblin so far. But these status cards are everywhere. So, which is your least favorite status card to see?
Like for me to be given?
Yeah, like the villain flips a treachery card and it like either stuns you or confuses you or gives him and like everybody tough.
Well, I find that I've figured out pretty good how to manage my health pool. And I do still lose to being defeated in that manner, but I tend to lose more frequently to scheming. So I really don't like getting confused at an inopportune moment.
Yeah, it always comes up, and then you draw advance, and you're sad.
Yeah, and I feel like confusing the villain is just slightly... Well, stunning Rhino is really excellent. But I kind of like confusing the villains. I just, like, if I can, I think that's my favorite to give off, and definitely my least favorite to receive.
Confusion is definitely super strong, and there's only two ways you can do it so far. You can confuse with Spider Woman, and then there's a Justice card in the Miss Marvel pack, I think, that confuses. So those are your options.
Well, I need to get the Miss Marvel pack. Come on, FFG.
It'll be there someday. I have some pop quiz for you. So I have a bunch of questions typed up dealing with status cards. I'm going to see if you can get the right answer based on the entry we just read. So the first is about Rhino. So I'm playing Spider-Man. And I shoot some webs around, and I have webbed up Rhino. And the turn before that, I had stunned him. Okay. So now it's Rhino's turn. He's going to activate, which would trigger an attack against me.
Because you're what in Spider-Man happens? Form.
Because I'm in Spider-Man form. What's going to happen?
What I would assume there is that the original stun would prevent the attack from occurring. And that would be it.
That is correct. So the stun, or any of these status cards, stunned and confused... they replace the entire segment of the attack. So no attack was performed, so webbed up never triggers. So basically webbed up will discard instead of attacking and then stun him. So you're going to get three free no attacks from Rhino with that setup.
Pretty ideal. A pretty ideal setup. If you can stun him and then web him up, you're laughing.
Same scenario. I'm still Spider-Man, and he tried to attack me, but it was replaced with a stun. So I have spider senses. Do I get to draw a card?
No, because the attack does not occur.
That's right. So it replaces the entire sequence, so the attack doesn't even initiate. It's kind of confused, because you're like, how do you know to replace it if it never initiated? But the way it's been ruled by FFG is that the entire sequence is replaced, so no attack occurred at all.
You check to see if there's a stun. If there is, that replaces the attack and is removed, allowing them to attack the next round. That's how I've been playing.
Well, you're gonna ace the next three questions. So Ultron 1, he's got a reaction that says after he performs an attack, he, you know, spits out a drone on you. So if he's stunned and he is supposed to attack you, does he get a drone?
No, because he has not performed an attack. He has just removed the stun because it takes precedence.
All right. This one's not fair because you haven't gotten to play Green Goblin. But one of the Green Goblin scenarios, if he would attack instead, you're going to put some tokens out. And if he would thwart instead, you'll put tokens out. Just like all those other ones, the status card takes priority. So the status card and the card ability have the same triggering condition. So a lot of times when that happens, the players get to choose which one occurs. But if it's a status card, no matter what is happening, it takes precedence. So Green Goblin won't get to do his little tokens, nor will Norman Osborn. Next question. Your ally is stunned, Mockingbird. She usually stuns the villain, but this time she got stunned. So you want to perform an attack with her to clear stun. Does she take consequential damage still?
I would say yes, she does, because it's one of the costs that are part of making an attack with an ally. It's one of the costs. And in the rules reference, it says all costs must be paid. So my assumption there would be that the ally does take damage.
So I think we have a ruling on this that's actually the opposite. So under using an ally for like an attack, it says do a bunch of things, exhaust your ally as the cost, deal the damage, do some other stuff. And then after you've attacked, then place the consequential damage onto the ally. So if an ally is stunned, yeah, they'll just strain a little bit getting rid of stunned, but they won't take their consequential damage, which is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, because thematically that makes sense. Like what you just said to me makes sense thematically, but I was assuming that it's part of the cost to make an attack or to thwart scheme is to actually take the consequences.
See, we are learning things. So we talked a lot about stunned and confused, but now we got some tough questions dealing with tough. So She-Hulk, she is playing aggression because you're an aggression player. And she's going to play a reckless assault using a fist, so it should gain overkill. And she's punching a minion that has tough, so none of her damage goes through to the minion. Does any of it go through to the villain?
Ooh, that's good. I would say no, because tough says all damage. Oh, wait. Yeah, but this is weird, because it can... Well, and like, I would say no. Like, I would say no. That was my initial thought. The only reason it's kind of confusing to me is, like, overkill hits them for as much damage as it would take to defeat them. But Tuff says all damage accrued to this villain or whatever is, or to this Tuff character is null, right? It's null and void. So I would say that no, none of the overkill damage goes through the tough character. That would be my final answer.
That's correct. So it's excess damage beyond the minion's remaining health points is dealt to the villain. So it's a little bit weirdly worded. I mean, I'm reading the RRG on overkill right now. If an ally is used to defend an attack, we don't care about that. If an attack with overkill defeats a minion, so it's only if it defeats a minion, so it's not going to trigger either way. Okay. So it's the overkill text that does that. But yeah, all the damage would get absorbed by tough. Next tough question. So Luke Cage, he's a protection guy. He comes into play with tough and 5 hit points. So in Green Goblin, there's a lot of things that cause indirect damage. So it might say this player takes 6 indirect damage and you have to split it up amongst all the characters you control. How much indirect damage can you assign to Luke Cage if he's out there with 5 health and a tough token?
Now, do we decide on what that means? Does every single character have to be assigned at least 1, or can 0 be the number assigned?
0 can be a split.
Okay, that's what
we've gotten.
That's what I thought. So then you could absorb all indirect damage with Luke Cage and his tough, and he would just lose the tough status.
So we actually have a ruling on this. So our buddy Apotropaic, I can barely ever say his Discord name, has a bunch of the rulings like screenshotted for me so he can tell me when I do things wrong in all my videos. And the way indirect damage works is you could assign damage to Luke Cage equal to his health value. So you could assign him up to 5 damage because you can't assign excess damage to the minion. Or ally, but when you're assigning it, it doesn't know the game state, so it doesn't know whether or not Luke Cage has tough. So the max you could assign to Luke Cage is 5, but when you assign all that damage, all the damage is assigned simultaneously. So tough will absorb all 5 that you assign to Luke Cage, and if you were assigning 6, your hero or someone else would have to take the remaining 1.
Okay.
Interesting.
That makes sense, but also kind of bothers me that they didn't do that with overkill.
Right, it favors the players. I guess that's okay this time.
Yeah. Well, this time doesn't favor the players. Well, neither of them really favor the players, because overkill, if you have something that does overkill, you should only, you know, like, and the minion as tough, they should only be able to take as much damage as they normally could to be defeated, and then the rest of, and then that, like, I feel like if you're going to have your cake and eat it too, like, you know, like, if that's the ruling against the players with indirect damage, I don't see why it wouldn't be the same with overkill.
Well, and the overkill helps you too, because like Rhino can get overkill and a giant three boost attack. And if Luke Cage has tough, he just absorbs all of that and discards the upgrade. So his tough just laughs it off.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
All right.
It's a little bit of rules minutia, and everybody knows lawyers are awful, and that's why, you know, that's why she's my least favorite character in the core set.
So you're not going to like Daredevil either when he comes out someday.
No, I just think Daredevil's cool, though, so I'll probably like Daredevil just because he's badass.
There you go. Miss Marvel. So she has an ability on her hero side. After you play a thwart attack or defense event, you can exhaust her to return this card to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if Miss Marvel is confused and she uses a thwart event like Sneak By to clear confusion, can she exhaust and return that card to hand?
Ooh, that's really good. That's an excellent question. Because she can't thwart because she's confused. But it says if she uses a thwart ability.
Let me read her exact text. Let me find it here. I'm using Marvel CDB, so it's in here somewhere, I'm sure. Miss Marvel reads, Morphogenetics response. After you play an attack, thwart, or defense event, exhaust Miss Marvel. Arrow, return that event to your hand.
Yeah, I would say you can, because this is after you play the event. You won't be able to actually thwart, and any of the effects of that event won't go through, but you should be able to return it to your hand with her text.
Yep, and I think that I agree. We don't actually have a ruling on this one, so that was a trick question because I don't know the answer. But if I read under event, it says blah blah blah, each time a player plays an event, its costs are paid, its effects resolve or are canceled, which I guess this is not canceling, it's replacing the effects, but
yeah. But it's still played. You still paid the cost. So let's say that your thwart event costs one resource. You've still discarded the one card for resource and played it. Its effects don't go off, but it counts as a thwart, removing confusion from you. And then you can use her ability to return that card to hand.
And there's a bullet under events. The next bullet says, if the effects of an event are canceled, the card is still considered to have been played. And Miss Marvel is looking for when you play an event with a certain trait, attack, thwart, or defense.
I think that
canceling the like action that's in the events doesn't cancel its traits. That's my guess.
And the fact that it was actually played. Yeah. Like we don't even need a ruling. It's all right there, black and white.
Case closed.
Case
that
closed.
Is
yeah,
the
like
end
that.
Of the rules lawyer segment.
Well played.
We're almost done. So we're in the home stretch. Last time, Crimson and I read through all the Black Widow cards with everybody, but one of our listeners asked, I don't care what Kennedy Hawk and Crimson have to say, because they're competitive players. They're not fun theme players like me and Lester. So what are Lester's favorite and least favorite cards from Black Widow? Or what do you want to say about her?
Oh, man, I'm really excited for her. I love the idea of the setup. And the trap, like she traps everything with those preparation cards. And like, obviously they'll have to slot preparation cards in here and there, because it would be a shame if 5 years down the road, or let's say 2 years down the road, the only preparation cards printed are the ones in her hero suite and the ones that came in her pack. You know, like I feel like they're going to have to use preparation with other heroes too. And it kind of makes sense to me to do that with somebody like Stephen Strange, because he's casting spells, so he's got to like set it up. Maybe he won't, but like, I really love that. The fact that you play cards out and then you can kind of pick and choose. I love the way that her, like Black Widow's ability interplays with that, what's it called? The itch card. It's the one that deals 2 damage to a minion when it enters play and stuns them.
Widow's Bite.
And because it actually deals 3 damage. So you're clearing up a lot of minions that are coming into play. Like you're dealing with a lot of them if you have that in play, because she deals an additional damage whenever one of her preparation abilities are triggered. to any target, right? So
yeah, so you can throw that at the villain and just stun the minions and let other people take care of them in a multiplayer game.
Yeah, like I really like the flavor of her. That one too, the one she has that they spoiled from leadership, quick response or rapid response or something like that, where you play it, it's a preparation card, and then if one of your allies would be defeated, you return them to play, to the play area, but they take one damage. So, like, think about that with Hawkeye, right? So Hawkeye, you use them all up, you chump block with him, you have that in play, boom, that's gone. You discard that preparation card. He comes back into play. He gets three more counters on him. And then you can chump block him again. Like that.
And he's cheaper, right? Yeah. He normally costs three. Now he's costing you two.
Exactly.
Sounds great.
Exactly. He takes one more wound, but really you're just gonna chump block with him once his, like, all his arrows are spent. So, like, I think there's so many neat combinations that you could do with her, and I've been reading her comic books too, from like this last run of her stuff is super, super good.
Oh, maybe I'll read that for next month, because I just got the trade paperbacks of those too. The Wade Black Widow.
Yes. Yeah. So good.
Oh, let's do that. Okay.
So
we'll make Crimson read.
So good. Like, they're just awesome. I'm really excited for her as a hero. My only concern is, I know how much Crimson thinks that Black Widow, the ally, is the greatest ally known to man, and how she could save you by having the perfect storm in play at one time. And then you can't play her if you're playing, you know, like, you can't play her in a protection Black Widow deck. And you can't play her if you're playing multiplayer with a friend who wants to play Black Widow, you know?
Yeah, she's just a resource at that point. So it'll be interesting to see if they address that at all. I don't think they will. I think they'll just tell people, you know, if you show up to your game and your buddy has Black Widow, then swap it out for another protection card. There's lots of cards to choose from.
Well, yeah, you can only have one in your deck anyway, so it's not like it's that big of an issue. You throw it out, throw an extra Tenacity in your deck, or whatever. You know, like, I don't think it's, like, I thought originally that was going to be a kind of a big issue, but I love how they just tackled it right away. They're like, Kate, we're going to go Black Widow. She's going to be a hero. She's the first one, right? And it's just a nod. Like, we're going to get Vision. We're more than likely going to get Vision. We're more than likely going to get Luke Cage, because they're going to want to make the Defenders as a team. You know, like, it's a four-player game, so you're going to want to have any of the iconic four character teams. Defenders, like, is the original Defenders the one that they've been showing on, like, the TV show?
No, I think the original ones, yeah, it's actually like Doctor Strange, Hulk, and like some random Avengers people. But the more modern Defenders comics has been inspired by the TV show, obviously. So,
yeah, because, like, I think you just throw them all together. They're all the Defenders are allies in this, except for Iron Fist, right? But there's an image of there's an image of Iron Fist in the cards in the core set. So I don't know, like, as far as I just like combo-y play, like, to touch on what you were saying about the listener there, I like combo-y play. I like, you know, like, the competitive Nate, the reason I like this game is it's like a party game. It's fun. I'm not trying to really game it that hard. Like, I would like to be able to beat everything, but I like the combos. I like the moments, those moments where you're playing Captain Marvel and you build up with your energy absorption and all that, you build up a big play and you just blast them for 18 to win or whatever. Like,
you don't play with my group. You're saying, you don't play for, like, the big, you don't try to, like, deck the game so that you always win. Our group, we play this four-player game every other Friday, and we constantly just try to outdo each other's decks, right? So we're trying to have, like, the biggest turn we can possibly have to make everybody else jealous.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that my play, like, my preference for play would change if I had a play group, right? Like, I'm playing solo. So, like, even if I was on tabletop, I would explore different deck options. I would play the game differently if I was playing with you and Crimson once, you know, once a week or whatever. So
we might have to make you do it someday. Oh, so I have this one buddy. He hates protection. It is like, if he sees green cards, he's pretty much like, I don't want to be at this table. I'm done. So we played a game last week and we won against Ultron pretty handily in four player. So we said, okay, let's play another game. Everybody go get a deck. And we didn't even talk to each other about it, but we all turned around and grabbed, we like claimed a hero and then turned around and grabbed our decks. And we didn't even tell each other what we were playing. He was playing somebody Justice, I think. And we all drew our opening hands and the first player played a green card. And then I played a green card and the third player played a green card and he was stuck playing with three protection players. It was the longest game we had ever played because Justice just kept us in the game. And we were, I think at one point we had like eight energy barriers out there and we were like, I ping him for one. I ping him for one. I ping him for one.
Oh, wow.
So we were trying to see who could ping him the most number of times with energy barrier. Cause it was just, it's like you, when you said it's a party game, it reminds me of that. Like we make these cheeky decks where we try to like outdo each other and we all grabbed the same cheeky deck just with a different hero where we were trying to like get all these energy barriers out and just sit there and tank damage.
Oh, that's amazing.
It worked. We won, but we had to let our character die to win. So
yeah, it was like a real grind, hey? But that, like, I think this game lends itself to that. It's like, it has this morphing quality to it where if you're into the lore, they're very thematic with how the way multiple cards work in the set. Like, there's a lot of theme in here. And then if you're really into, like, gaming the system or metagaming a system or whatever, there's enough interactions in here that it's engaging to deck build. And like, I don't know, I think this game, it's still to this day, I'm still kind of giddy about it. I just wish that I had better access to the new releases.
So since you don't have the new releases, there's four heroes kind of announced for you because you haven't gotten to play with Cap and Ms. Marvel. So Cap, Ms. Marvel, Thor, and Black Widow. Who is the hero you're the most excited about now that you have more options?
Okay, so right now, I would like to wait until Tuesday to answer that question because it's going to be Stephen Strange and then I'll say Doctor Strange. But currently with the four, I actually think that I would have the most fun with Black Widow because of the setup trap kind of thing. Because it's not like you're playing Magic against an opponent who doesn't know exactly what you have in your hand. You're playing against kind of a computer, you know, like you're playing against the game. So you can set these traps up and they still feel impactful and interesting. So I really like her, but I think I'm most excited for Thor because of the aggression cards that are coming into the pool. Like as a deck as a whole, I think I'm more excited about the Thor deck than I am about the Black Widow deck. But I think Black Widow as a hero is the one that intrigues me the most.
Nice.
Especially since you guys, you and Crimson noted that Ms. Marvel isn't that great solo. Like, she kind of requires a team to play. I'm not as excited. Like, I love the way she will interact with the game. I like the way they designed her. But I play pretty much solely. So,
gotcha. I haven't had too much trouble with Ms. Marvel solo, but I have had some trouble with it. So I think she can work solo. That'll be your challenge. Yeah. All right. That was all we had for today. So we'll let Lester see if he's got anything else to tell the viewers about how dumb Crimson and I were last episode. But I think we're wrapped up.
Last episode was, I thought 8 was really, really good. I love the introduction of like the naming of the different segments. I love the deck garage. I think that's a great idea. People just like that. And doing tiny tweaks, and you can always go back to, you know, last month's episode. We all played the deck. You know, it gives people a chance to explore kind of our ideas and then, like, engage. Like, the community can engage having a base point to build off of, you know. Like, it's hard to build decks sometimes. Sometimes you just get in the analysis paralysis phase and you just don't know what to put together. So I think having a framework there is great.
Totally. And these segments will come in and out for listeners. So we didn't cover an encounter set this episode, but we'll be sure to do another one next episode, some encounter set strategies. So for episode 8.5, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, adios.